Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm your host, or co-host, Ron Edwards, coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, from the Twin Cities, via Black Freedom Network, BFN. Oftentimes, we do not identify the network affiliation, Black Freedom Network, BFN, a consortium of other blog show our presentations, if you will, and a part of a group that is moving to expand, quote-unquote, its influence, its operational range, if you will, and its affiliation with others around the globe. Co-host Don Allen hopefully will join us later in this afternoon's program. We will be going for 1.5 hours until 4:30, it would appear. Consequently, telephone call-ins will not be a Pacific option, though I will take text messages, if you will. We will give that number later, though I can personally be reached via a cell phone number, but we'll see how things work out because we have so much information to share with you this afternoon. Again, coming to you from the Black Freedom Network, BFN. Much discussion in our city with respect to race relations, something that, you know, is not new in America, certainly not new in liberal Minnesota. This week has been interesting. For the first time in a long time, many years, in fact, I see a civil rights issue on the very front page and with picture of African-American leadership indicating their concern about the future of relationships here in the city of Minneapolis and across the width and breadth of the Twin Cities. The picture of members of the ecumenical community led by the Reverend Jerry McAfee certainly reflected a new chapter, if you will, in the continued saga of attempting to come together to bring about some sense of solution and problem solving and et cetera with regards to race. But this racial problem is in a much dangerous area, much more sensitive area. It is racism alive and well, unfortunately, within our law enforcement community, within our peace officers, within our police department. I am saddened by the fact that no one saw the need. And notice that we use the past tense, if you will, that no one saw the need in the last 20 days or thereabouts to reach out to African-American officers to solicit their thinking, their feeling, their pain, if you will. As I reported in my column in the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder this week's edition, that the African-American police officers have been greatly wounded by the insensitivity, by the non-concern, by the indifference to what these officers are going through. But we are hearing interesting rumors. We are at that. And we are obligated, for the purpose of transparency, to indicate that there appears to be movement that could begin to create a plan of action and develop solutions to a very painful experience that is now taking place within the Minneapolis Police Department. And as a journalist, as a member of the Fourth Estate, we are obligated, and for this particular purpose, I am obligated to share with our listening audiences, if you will, some of the difficulties that have emerged as an outgrowth of the expose and the questions that have been raised. Apple Valley, Terrence Terrell Franklin, Green Bay, Wisconsin, and numerous others that we have reported here over the last number of weeks and even long before that, and oftentimes dismissed as irrelevant, not knowing what we're talking about, or as one member of the Citizens Advisory Committee to the chief said, people who do nothing but stir up problems, such as yours truly, the co-host of this program. These things do not bother me, coming from people who I know have not a clue about what it is that is happening, what it is that is taking place, could never be called upon after dark to take to the streets to help, to bring aid and comfort when there is strife, when there is pain, and unfortunately when there's death. I saw a number of people after the meeting with Chief Janae Harto, who I know for a fact are never anywhere to be found, don't have a clue about what it is they're talking about, and some, quote-unquote, should have at least been transparent enough to indicate that they're on the payroll of the city of Minneapolis and the police department itself. I think that that's important. If you're going to join the chief and talk about transparency, be transparent all the way. Talk in terms of some of you that were a part of that gathering, if you will, are nothing more than bag women and bag men, if you will. Be up front. Tell folks that you have contracts with the city of Minneapolis, that you receive funding from the county, and that you forever must be on your best behavior as it pertains to continuing to feed at the trough. And I must say this, though we have not always agreed and et cetera, that there's no way that you can discuss the importance of police-community relations and that you ignore people like the Reverend Jerry McAfee, that you ignore long-standing civil rights activists such as the Spike Harry Moss, that you ignore an Alfred Flowers. It is difficult to understand how that can be dismissed. And when you talk in terms of the pain that a community suffers as it pertains to its relationships and the events that take place which affect and heighten those relationships, how can you dismiss a person like Helen Williams, who has been involved directly with families during the occasions and the times when pain and agony and death has been felt? And there's a whole roster, if you will, of African Americans. But as we said, coming out of the anteroom of the chief's office, that clearly there is an enemies list. And I am saddened by that. I am saddened by that because my responsibility this afternoon is to be as transparent as possible. And it serves no purpose for the very mean-spirited atmosphere that has emerged and has been in place actually for a number of years. You see, contrary to what the chief in the department said, this citizens advisory group was not something that was just put together in the last couple of weeks. There are many of you on that advisory committee that have been advisors to the office of the chief, first Tim Dolan and now Chief Janae Harto, for better than 3 years. Oh, yes, yes. Some of you have already given testimony to others who you feel the importance of being transparent and honest with them. I have had calls made to yours truly in which folks are now giving testimony to yours truly that they have been there. Some have been there since late 2009. And so I'm troubled by the fact that many of you who were in that meeting and who were in that hallway are aiding and abetting falsification, lies, misinformation, and et cetera. If you have, and some of you have been, advisors to the chief and to the police department, step forward. When we, for 5 years, those of us who were members of the Police Community Relations Council, PCRC, we made sure that the public clearly knew who we were and where we could be found. Our meetings were open. We allowed discussion from the floor. We responded. And we, for 5 years, 18 of us, community members, tirelessly carried out our responsibilities and duties. And so I do not accept those who appear, in some cases after having bought a new outfit so they could show off in front of the cameras, if you will, indicating what the motive was of those, or in this case, a single individual, who merely asked to be an observer. Let me say clearly and distinctly and concisely, I had no interest in speaking in the meeting. I had no interest in putting any fat or experience or knowledge on the heads of those who I knew had never done anything to help alleviate the problem and help shape a doctrine and a policy of improving conditions and relationships. In fact, many of you who were in that meeting are player haters. You feel that you can endear yourself to a master by being negative towards other people. That's why you get a like response. You see, there are some of us who believe tit for tat, if you will. And if you need to be called out because of your insulting disposition, your lying and treacherous motivations, then so be it. But in the meanwhile, there are those of us that can continue to serve our community, reach out to our community, and do due diligence on behalf of our community. And so in some regards, I was disappointed because in my case, and I clearly can speak, and I have a platform to enunciate my observations, my feelings, and my declarations. I had no intention, I repeat again, I had no intention, no desire to come into the chief's meeting and to, in fact, make any statement, if you will. In fact, some of you are now being identified as saying that if this single black man was allowed to come in, that you would walk. Well, you should have walked. That would not have been unusual. You've never done anything else extremely productive, if you will. But let me take a look at a couple things that are now at play that you folks should have known about. And you should have been able to bring this information to the table and into that meeting. And you should have been able, not now, because you did not develop or do you have knowledge of the information, and could you even intelligently respond if the media, the Fourth Estate, were to ask you specific questions. But we can. We have no problem. And so now we choose to reveal and talk about some things that you folks, some who've been serving, you've been there for 3 years. You've been talking with Janae even before she became assistant chief, as she became assistant chief, and then when she became chief, you have been whispering in her ear. You have been making your calls. You have been enunciating, quote unquote, whatever it is that you think needs to be done. And yet, one of the things that you've never done, you've never reached out to black police officers. In fact, I am aware that not a single one of you in that meeting this past Wednesday in the office of the chief, not a single one of you raised a question relevant to the African American, to the black police officers, not the nigger police officers, as they are oftentimes referred to by far too many of their comrades and colleagues. Not all, and et cetera. And in fact, they may be in many regards a small minority, if you will. But the fact of the matter is, what these officers have done has done irreparable harm and damage to the camaraderie, if you will, to the corps d'esprit of this department. Yet, not a single one of you had enough presence of mind or sharpness of understanding to ask about black police officers and other officers of color, Latino, Asian, Native American, if you will, whose numbers are small enough as it is. You asked not a single question about how they felt, the pain that they were feeling. You did not even ask the chief if it would be appropriate for you to come together as soon as possible to meet with the leadership of these prospective racial groups of police officers in our department. You did not even have that level of sophisticated thinking. All that was important to so many of you was to, quote unquote, be there in the presence of the chief and be identified, quote unquote, as significant leaders in the area of police community relations. How sad, how sick, how devoid of the importance of passion and commitment to really resolving and solving the problems emotionally, and particularly for some of you spiritually, if you will. And so it goes back to at least be transparent, declare yourself, if you will. I mean, the mayor is, quote unquote, Negro for colored relations with the police and the community has been nothing but devious in his actions and his undermining, quote unquote, of the point of view of others in the black community who he and his group do not necessarily like. And he's been doing it for a long time. And in some respects, I'm talking about Sherman, if you will, that Brother Sherman has ill-served Chief Janae Harto with, quote unquote, his undermining of community and his undermining of black police officers, if you will. And that is unfortunate, but that is something that will have to be worked out between him and the current chief, and he does not have many more months of employment because his master, the mayor, shall be leaving soon, vacating the office, quote-unquote, after three terms, if you will. It is uncomfortable to some. No, it isn't. I shouldn't say that. I'm not uncomfortable at all in speaking these words. They are harsh, but they are needed, for these are very perilous times that we face. And the greatest level of perilousness at this particular point is the situation within the department as it pertains to the department's relationship with its black officers and other officers of color. This cannot be allowed to happen. We said in our column in the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, the largest and oldest black newspaper in Minnesota, that we cannot afford a repeat of Cincinnati. And rather than give an education lesson for those who are the Citizens Advisory Committee, go out and find out what Cincinnati was and come back and tell us. Give us your quote-unquote firsthand analysis. See how much history and information you have, if you will. In fact, one of the things that I would like to see the Citizens Advisory Committee do is to tell in writing, on paper, how many officers of color they have sat down with, met with, and talked about the multiplicity of problems. That would be good to educate those of us of the African-American community who now must be dependent upon these scoundrels to, quote-unquote, carry out, quote-unquote, the mission of bringing resolution and closure to these situations. Now, let us go to some questions that should have been asked during the course of the meeting, but because you folk didn't know, which is not my problem, they were never asked, and consequently the chief was never obligated to address them. Let's take a look at the two problems that have become central to the great debate, to the hand-wringing, to the concern about, quote-unquote, this department's ability to meet its responsibility legally and under color of law with all communities that it must deal with. No one has paid any attention to the events in First Apple Valley. Understanding, by the way, Apple Valley happened in November of last year. Not a single person in this meeting of so-called Citizens Advisory Committee, some of you who have been there for 3 years, if you will, no one asked for specific details with regards to what happened in Apple Valley. And see, there could be no play on. We cannot discuss it because the matter has been adjudicated. The officers pleaded guilty. Two of the three officers pleaded guilty to, if you will, to disorderly conduct. And the Dakota County Attorney, Mr. Backstrom, cut a deal because if they would have been charged with the most serious breach, and that was a hate crime, which is what those officers were involved in, as they beat and cursed with racial epithets those African Americans in that parking lot at Bogart's in Apple Valley. If they would have been convicted of a hate crime, they would have lost their peace officer's license and would not any longer have been eligible to be hired by anyone's department anywhere in the United States of America. Why was there not a detailed discussion, reflection, and overview by the chief, the department, her deputies, and et cetera, on what this meant, what happened, what were the consequences, particularly when one of the officers served time in the Dakota County Jail, i.e., commensurate with their quote-unquote workhouse? Why was that not discussed? Why was not his problems with driving while intoxicated not discussed? Why was he still in the department? Why was he still on the job? Why were these questions not asked? Did anyone ask about the disposition of the African Americans who were beaten by these armed white men? Many of them, by the way, peace officers, law enforcement officers, members of law enforcement. Why were these kinds of questions not asked? Why, in fact, for a group that had been meeting for 3 years, did you not have a list of questions to ask the chief about Apple Valley, about Terrence Terrell Franklin, about Green Bay? Why did you not have a set of pre-questions so that the chief and all of those officers that she had in there with her would be able to, each and every one, designated by category, to respond, to answer your questions? For you are our Citizen Advisory Committee.
you have been indicating for quite some time that you represent the thinking of your respective communities, and yet not one single one of you issued a declaration of concern or outrage about the actions of five white officers and their total and absolute disdain for not only fellow law enforcement officers, but for the entire African-American nation, if you will. You're talking about two different locales, Apple Valley, Minnesota, Green Bay, Wisconsin, and then you're talking in terms of the racial epithets hurled at Terrence Terrell Franklin as he was beaten into unconsciousness and then his head was blown apart. Where were these questions, my friends? You are the Citizen Advisory Committee. You have demanded that you be entrusted, quote unquote, with safeguarding our concerns and advancing our concerns, speaking to our concerns. And now you have been identified as a group who within a month will put together a series of quote-unquote recommendations and et cetera. You clearly have never been down this road before. It took the PCRC with the full power vested in it by the Department of Justice. It took 5 years to move agendas, to get resolution. Oh, I know what some of you have whispered to Chief Jhené Hontho, and that is you didn't have the right kind of people on your committee. Well, my recollection is that when the process was put together back in 2003, that all of y'all had an opportunity to vie for a seat on the Police Community Relations Council. How many of you chose to do that? And yet you were quick, no sooner than the group was sworn in, to approach Chief Tim Dolan and Mayor R.T. Ryback and indicate these aren't the right kind of people. And in fact, this kind of denunciation was so infectious within the black community that in many respects it became an embarrassment. In fact, it set back the work of the committee only because at the Pacific time in question, William McManus was the chief. And I don't know that many of you knew that William McManus had close relationships with some of us, and he would identify to those of us who he was close with who it was and who you were that were attempting to poison the opportunity to solve problems, bring about solutions, and provide a safer atmosphere and environment between the police department and communities of color. I personally have known of you for a long time. I know of the comments that you made. I know of the treachery that you have advanced in the name of the fact that you want to be the leader. Player hating must be a hell of a disease, a hell of an infection, if you will. Now we move to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now this is where the problem has emerged. We're going to tell you a little story this afternoon. For those of you out there that quote-unquote think that you represent the factions that know what's best for the Negro, if you will, well, let us give you a little lesson in history. The Police Federation under John DeMonaco has been much more sensitive to the importance of bringing some sense not only of closure in the context of closure, but reaching out and dealing with the pain that has been felt by some members of the Federation. And so in the case of Green Bay, as they had initially done in the case of Apple Valley, the leadership of the Federation under John DeMonaco talked in terms of the importance of contrition, the importance of indicating apology, the importance of indicating a sense of corrective action, if you will. Now, here's the problem that has emerged, and this is going to be a problem for the chief. Out of the Green Bay experience, Officer Toll and Officer Powell were approached by the Federation. The Federation talked in terms of the importance, as the representatives of the officers under the collective bargaining agreement, to reach out, to do some corrective things, to try to send a message that. And initially, that was their comment, by the way. And I assume that my Citizen Advisory Committee knows all this because they are representing the interest of our communities, right?
that initially, when the officers were confronted in the Green Bay police station, if you will, caught on tape, both video and audio, in order to begin to cover themselves because they realized that they had confirmed that they had actually initiated a punch, striking one of the African Americans in the face, that they may possibly be charged. Now, this was after they had returned to their hotel room and they had talked with certain individuals within the Minneapolis department and were being advised on the right kind of reading. So they went back to the Green Bay police station, to the headquarters. And there they had quite an interesting set, too, with a couple of commanders of the Green Bay police department and even a couple of the officers who were involved in the initial call. And they initially said that they were there because they were celebrating or there to memorialize the fifth anniversary of the death of Officer Powell's father. And that as a part of that entire process, they had been drinking. They'd gotten drunk and they just kind of got carried away. And see, what we are saying to you now is going to be important within the next minute and a half to just what kind of frauds and fakes and BSers these officers were. And so they said, we were drinking and we were here and, you know, we just got kind of carried away and it was the alcohol talking. And when I swung and hit the nigger in the face, you know, it was one of those reactions and et cetera, but that we are sorry. Now, this was what they were initially saying, because they knew that a criminal complaint was being prepared relevant to their conduct on the streets of Green Bay, Wisconsin. But lo and behold, after realizing that this would probably be covered up, if you will, as was Apple Valley to some extent, they began to change their story, their disposition. And when the Police Federation reached out to them and said, okay, look, we need to get, you know, we need to get you into a condition and a situation in which we can regain some of the trust and the sympathy of the not only the public, but even our own department, and we're going to have to deal with the pain that has been inflicted on African-American police officers, officers of color. These officers began to enunciate a doctrine and a position which has caught everybody off guard, and that was, we are white men, and we have a First Amendment right to use the word nigger whenever we choose. And it became so tense that even the attorneys began to advise them that they did not have a constitutional right as a peace officer in the state of Minnesota to use such aggressive and inflammatory statements. And these two officers stood by their allegations. And, of course, these are two officers who have a history of actions, including the deaths of African-Americans, if you will, or in this case, a Somali. And lo and behold, the Federation and its leadership were shocked by the tenaciousness, which later became almost hate-filled position of these officers. That's why you're not hearing a lot from the Federation about its defense of these officers. Oh, they will defend the three officers in Apple Valley because these officers who, two of the three, pleaded guilty, if you will, to their transgressions, know that they are very much dependent upon the Federation to save them. But for whatever reason, the two officers in the Green Bay incident have been reinforced by right-wing extremists, neo-Nazis, who have said to them, you will not, need not, should never apologize for referring to niggers and referring to your own colleagues in the Minneapolis Police Department as niggers, because the issue of apology to your comrades in blue became a discussion piece 10 days ago. It was suggested that for the sake, it's kind of like a military term, for the sake of the Corps, for the good of the regiment, for the future of the battalion, that contrition be shown, that you show that you are remorseful. These men said the hell with remorse, used another word that has to do with a sexual intercourse, if you will, and said niggers are niggers, and we will call them out and make those statements anytime we choose. And once again, the lawyers, the attorneys for the Federation said, gentlemen, you cannot stand behind that under color of law.
And then one of the most, I think, illuminating in many respects things happened. One of the toughest, but yet one of the most respected police officers in the department, a man I've known all of his life, really, a man who is tough, but he brings it clean, if you will. He will go with you head-to-head, fist-to-fist, and et cetera. This officer, Lieutenant Mike Sorrow, approached these officers and said, look, we need to show, if you will, some sense and require and ask for some sense of forgiveness and understanding, if you will. We need to show that we're remorseful. They basically told Lieutenant Mike Sorrow to kiss their behind and take a walk, and that they would never stand down. They would never stand down from identifying black people as niggers anytime they chose. I mean, this has been their position. And it has put the Federation in a terrible situation, if you will. Also, there is a piece that is at play that is not going to help these two officers in any future relationship with federal law enforcement. And it has to do with who the black men were that they showed such disdain and referred to as monkeys and monkey business, but more importantly referred to them as niggers and black son of a bitches and things like that. The federal authorities have a problem when you quote-unquote disrespect their quote-unquote brigade, when you disrespect their fellow personnel. And so we now must understand some of the depth of what is going on. And yet, in many respects, this should have been information known by the Citizens Committee. They are the Citizens Committee. They have been in place for 3 years. They are close to the previous chief. They are allegedly close to this chief. And so they should have been prepared to have raised those questions and prepared questions for the chief going into the meeting. This was their great moment in the sun. The opportunity to present themselves as knowledgeable, all-knowing, all-omnipotent, if you will, the new host, coming, quote-unquote, to the front of the aisle, really, standing tall, knowing and understanding the problems that are going on so that they could serve this chief and this city, and most importantly, its citizens, with knowledge, comprehensive knowledge, understanding, helping this chief, helping this department, yet none of these questions were raised. As we said before, not a single one of them in that meeting raised any questions about the well-being of black officers. I mean, I know they didn't have the depth to understand to ask the questions about their own quote-unquote community, their own quote-unquote clan, if you will, their own friends, associates, and members of their churches and organizations and et cetera. Far too many of them were just concerned to be in there with Janae. And then to later tell, particularly the white ones, tell their friends that we, quote-unquote, met with the chief and discussed the problem of the colored community, if you will. I cannot believe that they were that shallow, being that shallow. Now, they have the audacity in this meeting and at the press conference that was later called by Chief Harto at approximately 4:30, they had the nerve to say that there are some of us out there that they feel, had some information that could be delivered to them, they would ask about that. These are people whose the thoughts of some of the leaders who were out front of City Hall at 12 o'clock that afternoon, that some of their thoughts, their ideas would blow them people's heads apart. You understand what I'm saying? Just talking like a street person. You understand? One of their thoughts would make one of those persons' heads explode. But the audacity to suggest that if you want to be heard, come tell us what it is that you have to offer, and we may invite you to come in and sit with us as an unequal, understand to set with us as an unequal,
and we will listen to you. Now, if it's something real good and we can make some money off it, we will steal your idea, and we will advance it under our own banner, if you will. That's called plagiarism. It's called pirating. But more importantly, it's called just outright dishonesty, if you will. And so now we have a situation in which we have a citizens group that really has no idea about what it is that is being planned for them. But let me make a suggestion tonight to maybe help them along, though we're not going to even tell them the pages that it's on. There is a document signed by a group of parties on the fourth day of December in the year of our Lord, 2003. It is called a Memorandum of Agreement for those that need help with respect to legal definitions and interpretations. Run and get one of your lawyer friends or legal friends to make you understand the legal standing and position of a memorandum of agreement. And on December 4th, 2003, the city of Minneapolis agreed to a multiplicity of things. In fact, the specific language for those that are on the Citizens Review panel, a couple who should know, it starts out saying, now and therefore it is hereby agreed as following. And boy, for those of you that want to play like your community leaders and you want to speak for the common masses, if you will, and you're doing nothing but playing a game, it's like brothers used to say on the streets years ago, you ain't doing nothing but shucking and jabbing. And this particular document, let me read it again for you and for those of you who now represent my interest as an African American. You're going to, quote unquote, keep me safe. Now, therefore, it is hereby agreed as follows. And then, repeating what we just said, there is a multiplicity of areas that were agreed to by all parties. And one of the interesting pieces deals with officers who participate in use of force incidents. And now we're not going to read the rest of it. We're going to, quote unquote, require you, our citizens advisory panel, and those who, quote unquote, who speak ill against those who stood on the steps of City Hall last Wednesday and attempted to call attention to the pain and to the plight of the African American community. Go get you a copy. Figure it out. And there are a number of specific instruments that are used by the authority that were considered to be extremely repugnant as it pertains to the execution of the law, the application of quote-unquote detaining and arresting and holding and et cetera. Familiarize yourself, Citizens Advisory Committee. Familiarize yourself so that you can intelligently, because I doubt if any time soon, the chief will encourage you, though you may encourage yourself, to have a public meeting. Why don't you do that? Why doesn't the Citizens Advisory Committee, as they working in, what is it, three or four committees that we have been told about, as you work in your committees to finalize and prepare for general consumption by the general public in late September, why don't you have at least two public meetings so that you can hear the poor, ignorant, stupid masses that you talk about and refer to in that manner so that you can hear from those oops who are the victims. Let us at least have you show your faces in public. Let there be no more private meetings behind closed doors. And then you come out before the cameras and you clown like monkeys in a zoo for the cameras. Don't do that. Don't insult the people that you say that you represent by acting out, quote-unquote, a fallacy. Come ready and prepared to answer the questions of the masses. Come and prepared as an example, and we would encourage this. We would encourage this. You see, we have no interest whatsoever individually to have anything to do with you. But we do support the right of those that stood on the steps at City Hall to ask you to meet with them and to, quote-unquote, indicate to them your agenda, your thinking, your plans, your designs for resolution.
so that many of those who were on the steps of City Hall do not have to be called to incidents and events at 10 and 12 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, that we all may rest in our beds in peace because one has done the right thing. And let us hope that you do not have to face the opposition that the Police Community Relations Council had to face, if you will. The sabotage, the undermining, if you will, the delaying tactics, because we must assume that none of that will be in place, and consequently the chief has detailed to you and for you, quote-unquote, a mission which you will complete in less than 40 days. So we encourage you to meet with the Reverend Jerry McAfee and others. Irrespective of what you may or may not think about them, they bring knowledge and experience to the table. Meet with them, reach out to them, and report back to your chief what has been said and how it has been said. And please, if you do nothing else, Citizens Review Committee, reach out to officers of color. Indicate to them that you wish to meet with them, but prepare your questions so you do not appear to be idiotic and without intellectual foundation. Prepare your questions. Have questions for them. Ask them about the issues, because this is one of the things that you regurgitated about as you were standing before the media this past Wednesday, that you were there to look at recruitment and hiring and other kinds of issues. Well, have the necessary questions ready to ask of African-American, Native American, Asian, Somali officers. Do you even know how many Somalis officers there are in the Minneapolis Police Department versus the number of Somalis in the general population? Do you even know, my friends of the Citizens Advisory Committee, the kinds of trauma that Somali officers are having within the precinct stations and on the streets? Do you know the kinds of things that they've had to go through as they have made history in this country as becoming really the first group of Somali officers to become police officers in a great American city and an American police department? Do you know anything about the Asian officers? Do you know anything about the issues of promotion and recruitment? Do you know anything, quote unquote, about the supervision, if you will, on the streets, what you must do, how you must do it, if you will? Have you been updated on the many cold cases of people of color, particularly African Americans, that their deaths, their murders have not been solved? Do you have any concern about the absence of numbers of African Americans in the elite units of the Minneapolis Police Department? Let me just say this to you, though it's in my black book, the book that was signed by all of us on the fourth day of December in the year of our Lord, 2003. But you, my friends of the Citizen Review panel, you'll have to go do some homework. You'll have to go find for yourself these particular issues that were enunciated in this agreement. And I read for you again so that you understand, those of you that say that, quote unquote, we will end the problem overnight. The problem was here long before you were born and long before many of you were able to find your way to Minneapolis. Now, therefore, it is hereby agreed as follows. Why don't you find out how much success there was and then how much of that success has been dismantled, in some cases under direct collusion by some of you that sat on the Citizens Review panel and have been there for 3 years. At least have the courage to indicate what your recommendations may have been in 2009, 10, 11, and 12, and 13, when suggestions were made to you about, well, don't you think we need to change this? Don't you think we need to change that? Don't you feel this is too harsh and too intrusive on our police officers and et cetera? And the reason that I say this, my friends, to the Citizens Advisory Committee, is that in a press release that was sent out by PI, Public Information Officer Palmer, on the morning prior to your meeting was that KSTP Channel 5 had gone into district court in an attempt to force the meeting to be open, if you will. The judge would not rule specifically on that particular issue, but in a quote-unquote statement released by Brett Osborne, a gentleman who I've known in the city attorney's office, in fact worked with him for many years during the time that I was a part of the federal court supervision of the Minneapolis Fire Department. Brett Osborne basically said that there was no requirement as it pertained to any violation of the state law with respect to the status of those who had gathered as the chief, because they were really a non-entity with no authority, policy-making power, etc., that there was no need for her to open the meeting. That is really kind of an ugly statement, because what you have been basically told is that not only have you been marginalized, there is really no margin, quote-unquote, to identify. But when people reach the point that you're just happy to be in front of the camera, when they're just happy to make regurgitated statements and et cetera, then I guess that is what has a tendency to happen. Now, let me say this to one of my friends who was in that meeting and was a part of the federal activity and the agreement. How say you, my friend, on the issue dealing with mental health issues as it pertains to the MPD? Has the proper protocols been carried out since they were allegedly agreed to in this portion of the document in 2007? Let me give you one specific issue. Has under 3.1.3, have the CIT teams been diversified? Okay. The MPD will actively recruit and encourage more female officers, officers of color, American Indian officers to join the Crisis Intervention Team, CIT, to achieve and maintain parity with the diversity of the city. You see, that's a question that you folks on the Citizen Review Panel should have been well-versed on. And you should have been asking this question for the last 3 years of the previous chief and now current chief. You see, it was the absence of that, my friends, that cost this city $4 million in paying for the quote-unquote wrongful death of a young African-American in the middle of the street along the 3700 block of Bloomington Avenue South a couple of years ago. You see, it is important that you know and you recognize and you understand what your obligations are, what is expected of you, if you will. These are things that should have been brought forward. These are the kinds of questions that you should have asked. They would have been so important with giving those of us who are members of the South 40 of the Great Plantation at least some sense of comfort that we had these great leaders who knew the issues and were asking the right questions to protect our franchise. And by the way, for those of you that may be in that citizens group that doesn't understand the definition of franchise in that context, we're not talking about a McDonald's or a Harvey franchise. We're talking about franchise as identified under color of law in the law dictionaries and et cetera. Why were some of these questions that are contained in this agreement signed on the fourth day of December 2003, why were some of these many, many multitude of questions, steps, and et cetera, to guarantee the advancement of solutions that would solve some of the problems in the heartache that continue to infect this city? Maybe if you folk would have been on your job, D.T. Franklin would still be alive. Maybe African-American and other police officers of color would not be feeling the pain of what is happening to them, if you will, if you would have, quote-unquote, been on your job. Now we are being told that we must once again expect you, quote-unquote, to protect our interest and our franchise. And for those of you, like in the Civil Rights Department offices, who thought it was funny that a black man was turned away from a meeting dealing with police community relations, if you will, who has better than 50 years of history, you thought that was funny? Well, there are a lot of things that are funny, some of which we'll be touching on in the next half hour of the program. But these issues were so important, and this particular document, in which was ratified by the Minneapolis City Council, in which the federal government maintained its high expectations of implementation and et cetera. Have these things happened? No, they have not. That is the reason, joined by my colleague, Mr. Clyde Belcourt, and my colleague, Mr. Zachary Montoya, that we have asked for an audit. We've asked for an examination of the Big Black Book. We've asked for an examination of the money that was obtained by the city of Minneapolis and its police department for the implementation of many of these particular issues, propositions, and et cetera. But we assume that you, the Citizens Committee, already know that because you have been in consultation, you have been meeting behind closed doors. I don't know of any single occasion that you had, quote unquote, a public meeting to discuss with the public that you say you serve that these things were being looked at, that these things were being dealt with in or outside of the box. These are the reasons, my friends, that there is such tension in our city. And then to finalize it and provide the ultimate insult by deciding who is persona non grata and who is not, you see, again, we are not speaking for ourselves. We have platforms. And we will advance and deal with those platforms as we see fit. We are now going to take a short break. We are hoping that our associate has arrived, and we will reengage in approximately 1 minute. Again, I'm Ron Edwards. I'm your co-host. This is any number of things, but this is the Black Freedom Network. This is On Point. This is the Black perspective. This is all the things that a community needs to have so that we can keep and stay abreast of what is happening around us, and et cetera. We will return in approximately 1 minute. Thank you. And we are back. We appreciate you staying with us during the 1 minute delay as we had to deal with technical situations to reengage. It appears that our associate, Mr. Allen, has not yet arrived, and so we will complete the next and final 32 minutes of this program. Hopefully he will be able maybe to join us, if you will, in midstream. Now let me move on to a couple of other things that are of great concern with respect to what the Citizens Committee should have known, the questions they should have asked, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There has been much discussion about the mayoral race, as you know, and some of the candidates have periodically, particularly since the tragic death of Terrence Terrell Franklin on May 10th in this city of 2013, have talked about in a kind of a tenuous way how they would, quote unquote, deal with police community relations. And well, yet one of the greatest obstructions has been a man by the name of Michael Brown, who heads up what is supposedly called the Minneapolis Police Oversight, whatever, which should have been fully up and running months ago, but actually has been operating with only three of the 14 members that they should have. The reason that this comes as a concern is because of the polarization that is taking place between the Civil Rights Department, that entity, if you will, and very powerful, powerful factions within the Minneapolis Police Department, particularly the Federation. Mr. Brown has a reputation of being extremely arrogant, if you will,
And if he was as smart as he is arrogant, he probably would be a brilliant legal practitioner and be able to facilitate the kinds of things that would be expected under color of law and through the quote-unquote procedures, policies, and et cetera. But something troubling has emerged, which means that there is chaos now within the structure that we must be so dependent on, and I'm quite sure that the Citizens Review Panel is being manipulated by Mr. Brown and Velma Corvell, who, by the way, both were absent from their posts this week at a time when it was crucial that the chief had their, quote-unquote, valued opinion and observations and contacts, if you will. Neither one was really on the premises, per se, if you will. And so that ability certainly was not in place. But we were somewhat amused by the rumor that is now being floated that council member, now mayoral candidate, Betsy Hodges has indicated to close associates and et cetera that Michael Brown will be her choice to head up the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, which means that Velma Corvell is being dumped, if you will. Now, we have understood, and it is rumored, notice how we said it is rumored, that Ms. Corvell has been circulating her quote-unquote resume, knowing that quote-unquote her tenure as director of the Civil Rights Department is extremely limited and short at best, if you will. But Michael Brown, who clearly has had a long-standing relationship with Councilmember Betsy Hodges, if you will, has certainly been providing that particular mayoral campaign with certain overviews and philosophies relevant to how policing should take place in the city of Minneapolis, which includes Mr. Brown thinking that maybe he should become, though we don't have it in the charter, Minneapolis's next commissioner of police. The only problem is that this man, who, by the way, has just moved to Robbinsdale, moving out of the heart of the inner city of Minneapolis, if you will, and, of course, understanding that he draws his salary and his paycheck from the citizens and from the tax base of the city of Minneapolis, I'm puzzled on why this man, a resident born in Rochester, Minnesota, attended John Marshall High School, as he likes to tell friends and associates, I'm concerned on why he has such little confidence, if you will, in, quote-unquote, continuing to live in the city of Minneapolis. We appreciate the opportunity to have joined with you and to dialogue with you a little bit. Hopefully Mr. Allen will be back next week. We will have an opportunity to go more into depth about some of the issues. We will not provide additional information and background from the agreement of December 4th, 2003, but we will share any response with anyone who asks the right questions. Again, on behalf of my colleague, Mr. Don Allen, I'm Ron Edwards. This has been, quote-unquote, a Black update from the Black News Network. Have a good day, have a safe day, and say a prayer for the Black citizens of the city of Minneapolis. Good afternoon.